Hello there, welcome back to Shalai Podcast with Oremi. Okay, this episode may be very serious, you know, so to speak, just because what I want to talk about is pretty disturbing. So I mean, it's not the typical structure we have. Today we don't have any catching up on, you know, recent happenings or bans or all of that. I'm just going to go straight into what I was talking about and end this, because I'm literally doing this on impulse. I had no plans to record it today, but you know, like I said, it's just a reflex thing. So yeah, I'm just going with the vibe. Yeah, maybe that's the word. Okay, I think I'm going to title this "Ore is suffering from PTSD," because that's genuinely where I'm at, and I'm going to just walk you through what is going on with me. I remember doing this. I think I had this "Ore is in a meltdown" episode. I think that was after one exam in 2021. I don't remember the precise month, but I remember doing something like that, and I like that I can do these things. Genuinely, it's one of the reasons why I started my podcast. I used to have this very, I've said it before my podcast, I'll say it again, it's getting better, you know, but genuinely I used to have this mind zone, mind frame, mindset, whichever one, that, you know, obviously people are going through stuff, people are going through so many things, so it's hard for you to feel like you can, I mean, obviously you have people, but it's hard for you to just 100% bank on people, like, oh, these people are always there for me, blah blah blah, you know, because at the point I always feel like I'm even disturbing people, right? So like I said, it's getting better, but at the same time, you know, the game is still the game. So I started my podcast, you know, primarily because of something like that, the fact that, okay, even if I'm feeling too shy, or if I'm feeling like a burden, right, to people, I can come on my podcast, talk about it. Hopefully one or two people will actually listen through, and maybe they can, you know, just either learn from me, tell me that, oh, they've gone through this, or maybe just say something that will lift my spirit up, you know, one of those things. Really, sometimes it's nothing so deep, but yeah, it's one of these moments. Again, I said all of that to say this. Okay, I don't want to assume that everybody that listens to my podcast follows me on Twitter, or has my number, or, you know, or follows me on Instagram also, because this issue is something that I've literally had to discuss across these platforms because people told me to, and, you know, it kind of had negative and positive effects, which I also talk about. So let me just get right into it. So I have to run through this story very quickly. March 30th into April 1st, I was in Lagos. There's this organization that I work with, so to speak, right? And they had a what do I call it now? An inaugural event. Yes, so I was present, and, you know, it's not the first time going for one of those. So usually after the event, you have lunch at the place, and then, you know, they drive you to the hotel where you stay, and you stay there, you check out, the next day you go back to your destination. So it was the same thing that happened, you know. Well, I'd done that, go back to the hotel, settled in, everything was, you know, smooth. I don't know if it's evening or night, you know, we went out. So myself and two other people that went from Obafemi Awolowo University particularly, right? So if I say we, that's what I mean. I won't say we're friends, because we're really not, right? So maybe colleagues in this context. Yeah, colleagues, that works. Okay, so we went to get food in the night, right, just to have, you know, something to eat into the morning. So we did that. When we got back into the hotel, we went to the pool to eat and just to relax. When it was like past 11, I was feeling tired already, so I, you know, left them at the pool. I said, peace out, see you tomorrow. and I went back into my room. So obviously, I mean, the pool is outside, right? So I have to walk back into the hotel, take the elevator, go to my floor, all of that. So I did that. And around, because I don't remember the precise time, but around 12, around, let's say, 5 minutes past 12, or maybe 10 minutes past 12 now, midnight, okay? I'm still awake, but my lights are off. The TV is off, the AC is on, but you know, I'm mostly preparing to sleep, but I'm still using my phone, really. So I heard a knock on the door the first time, and first time I was like, ah, wait, I don't get it, because it was strange for many reasons. Like I said, the people that we came with were not friends, so we literally don't even go to hang out in anybody's room. We just meet maybe when we're going to eat or when we're leaving together. Okay, so that was strange for that first reason. Second reason being that, okay, even if one of them needs something, the first thought that comes to anybody's mind is to put a phone call through. Okay, I'm in front of your room. Because most times, or rather, what's your room number? I'm just around the hallway. Come outside, I want to see you. Because most times we don't even remember the number of the room, because I mean, you don't stay there for more than 2 days, so it's hard for you to even keep that in mind. That was the second reason. And you know, many other reasons that I don't even need to point out, but maybe you just, you know, help me point it out. So I mean, the first knock, my heart was already in my mouth. I was already, okay, what's going on? Second knock, and at this point I'm losing my mind, right? It's about to be the third knock, but I'm already off the bed and I'm walking slowly, right? Off the bed, walking slowly, halfway in the room, so to speak. I don't know how to describe it, I'm sorry, but basically I'm not on my bed anymore, right? I already got up. I'm walking towards the door because somebody's knocking and I want to find out. Okay, so let's say I'm halfway, right, just to get through the door. The next thing I notice is that the door is already opening. And at this point, it's easy to say, you know, when they say, I don't know if it's the one that they say, the floor should just open and swallow you. But I mean, it's hard for me to place what I was feeling in that moment. Because up to now, I can't explain it. That's the crazy thing. And I think it's about to be over a month already. So, I mean, the door is opening. Somebody's opening it, obviously, right? It's not a spirit. But his head is down the whole time. So we have a guy dressed in the housekeeping uniform, genuinely. Right, the old cap, the white cap, the uniform, the shirt, the whatever. His face is down. Because I haven't said, I mean, when he was knocking, I didn't ask who's there. You know, I didn't ask anything. I was quiet. So, also, I mean, when he was opening the door, he had no idea that I was already halfway. But I managed, because I was actually stammering, but I managed to, you know, form the words, hello, or the word rather, that's like, hello, very sharp, because I mean, I was, and then the three words, what am I saying, three sentences, right? The first one is, sorry, ma'am. The second one is, housekeeping. The third sentence is, just checking on you. He says this in the space of 2-4 seconds. Very, very fast, sharp. His head is down. I don't see his face. As he says it, before I can even say, maybe, housekeeping, babu, or anything, he shuts the door. Immediately. Everything happened in the space of, I don't even know, I can't even say, but you know how people say, maybe think like your life flashed in front of your eyes. I think it was that kind of, it was near that experience for me. And then he left. All this while, I'm still like, I haven't processed it. I'm like, wait. Okay. So I remember going back to my bed. I'm still very scared. But I picked up my phone, went to Twitter. I remember tweeting, you know, there's no way I can show you the tweets now because this is audio. But I remember tweeting, housekeeping at midnight with question mark, Nawao or Shena Ment. I think I put Shena Ment or something. So apparently I tweeted that at exactly 12:20 a.m. I couldn't sleep through the night. I mean, you probably can already guess. For so many reasons. It's morning, it's time to check out. I meet my colleagues at the hallway. We're about to take the elevator. I told them about what happened. You know, everybody just kept on. Because I genuinely was telling them because in my head, I'm like, okay, we're on the same floor. If that happened in my room, then it must have happened in another person's room, right? So that we know that for sure, it's housekeeping, which is very impossible at midnight, which even makes no sense. You know, it didn't come in with a trolley. It didn't come in with a tray. It didn't come in with mop. It didn't come in with a mop bucket. There's a way it was stacked, but it wasn't stacked naked, but you know, it came in empty. It wasn't holding anything, basically. And then they're like, no, nobody came to their room. Nothing like that happened. At this moment, I'm freaking out the more, you know. And got to the reception. I told them what happened. They kept on asking me questions. Oh, what does it look like? What was he wearing? Somebody was passing, because I'd seen, when I woke up that morning, right, I saw people, like actual people that do the housekeeping in front of, I think there was a room that maybe the guests there already checked out. So, you know, they were going in to clean the room and all that. It was the same uniform they were wearing. So I think somebody was passing by with that uniform. They were like, was it this uniform? I said, yes, it was this uniform. They're like, oh, that's strange. What's my room number? What's this? They'll have to check their CCTV cameras. They will tell their manager. They will do this. It was so many questions. You know, I remember asking them, I don't understand. Is that a thing that happens in this hotel? They're like, no, that never happens. Okay. All right. We checked out. All this while, I hadn't spoken with the organization that, you know, let me use the word, put us in the hotel or lodged us in the hotel rather. Because like I said, so many things are going through my mind. The same way it did not even maybe clock for me to go and report at the reception immediately, it happened at midnight. But I mean, definitely, I was just afraid that, okay, if somebody came into my room unannounced, it's probably still hanging around the hallway. And if I open the door, I really don't know what is coming. You know, at that point, it was hard to make decisions. So I got back to my place. Right, not in Lagos obviously anymore, and I put a phone call through, told them what happened. They were paranoid just as much as I was. Obviously not as much actually. But yeah, I mean they were paranoid, right? So they asked me questions, how did it happen, blah blah blah. I keep recounting the story over and over again. But I mean for a good reason, because it's something they want to take up. Right, so it's I can call it a human rights organization, so to speak. So that's actually what they do, kind of, you know. So they want to actually take it up, so they need my account. It has to be accurate, it has to be detailed. So I keep recounting the story. Then they'll ask me again, are you sure it didn't come in with a trolley? Are you sure it didn't come in with, you know? And it was messy for me because I genuinely would have maybe questioned my sanity if I did not tweet at that time, because I had to go back to my Twitter. I saw it and I'm like, see, even if I didn't see this thing on Twitter, I know this thing happened, and this is what it said, and this is what, you know. And 2 days after that, I was still struggling to sleep. Shout out to Favor was on my last episode, safe space episode, and you know, she's genuinely a great person, and she had to come and sleep in my room one of those nights because she figured out I wasn't sleeping. I had my eye bags, but not from here. I had the worst journey back from Lagos to Ife. It was a very long ass journey. Left Lagos like past 10, got to Ife like 6 in the night, you know. So I was very tired, and considering the fact that I didn't also sleep the night that the thing happened, I didn't sleep even after that journey. I think I closed my eyes around 2 a.m. 7 a.m. again, my eyes were open. And not like I even slept from that time, you know, but my eyes were just closed. it was crazy for me, you know. So I've said all of that. If you've listened to this part, then you must really like my voice, because I don't know if you genuinely just care about the story that much. But I'm still struggling. I always pray that I don't go through anything traumatic, you know, because I know that the way I handle it differently, the scenario keeps playing in my head. It takes a long time for me to get over experiences like that, you know. Okay, so I think April 2, when I got back to Ife, that morning also, somebody came to knock on my door, and this was around 8 a.m., right? And I was all of a sudden on that hotel bed again. I'd forgotten that, I was in my own space already. But then the question comes in, like, are you even safe in your own space? Because the rate at which lives are not even secure anymore is alarming. I remember when I was telling somebody else about it, we were talking about this okay guy that died during NSAS, how he was literally in his own house, right? And then bullets met him there. You know, that story is still something that scares me till today. It will never make sense. So it's not really a matter or question of, it happened at an hotel, or it happened in your house, you know, or it happened on the streets. It's literally every single place or anywhere that you can find yourself in. So I don't know. I tweeted the whole story. Favour encouraged me to tweet it out so people know what's going on. But at the initial part of tweeting it, I did not mention the name of the hotel for certain reasons, because by that time I had not even spoken with the organization that, you know, lodged me there. And I don't, you know, just because I also had it at the back of my mind, it's not even really about the name of the hotel, it's the fact that it can be any other hotel or any other place. But on my Twitter, people came out, were dragging me, what are you protecting? Somebody called me a liar. Somebody said, this one is cooking story. You know, I was just looking through all the comment sections. And I remember locking my comment at a point when I had like over 100 people asking me, what's the name of you? Who are you protecting? Somebody was like, this one is, and this one does not have anything to say. This one is cooking this thing for us. So I remember, you know, locking my comment. And then people are like, you can see she's lying. Who or what are you protecting? I think that's the one that even bust my head more. So I'm saying all of this because, I mean, that just added to my own trauma, because I was looking at all of those things, and it's crazy how people can be very insensitive to things that some of these people actually go through. You know, somebody called me a liar and said that, there's no way this story is true. Why did she lock her comment? Why did she do this? And I remember another person, because I actually checked the tweets again just before starting this episode. And another person said, okay, because I eventually now put up the name of the hotel, right? I did it after people were asking me. And then somebody said, okay, so I just put up the name of the hotel. So the person replied, that person that was calling me a liar, and said, you should apologize to her now, because she has put up the name of the hotel, so you don't have anything to say. And, you know, I remember another person quoting the tweet and saying, you people are very insensitive. How this is the same thing that happened with that Chinelo babe. And I'm thinking that's the babe that was on the train, the babe that tweeted that she was, you know, that she was shot or something on the train. And Twitter people were like, how can you, they shoot you, and the next thing you know is Twitter. We have animals living in our midst. That's what I know for sure. And many of them are on Twitter, and they don't have mouth in real life, but because they have Twitter, that's their voice, so to speak. And it's crazy how they use it sometimes, you know. So that happened. Twitter was happening also, and I think I went through almost every other comment because I was trying to, but it was hard because I was trying to get my mind off it. At the same time, it was so overwhelming. So at the point again, I had to mute my notifications, right? But I think the most crazy thing about this whole experience is the fact that many people, right, have had similar or even worse experiences at hotels. And I think that's why I'm actually even talking about this on the Shalai podcast, honestly. I went through it again today, and I'm going to read out some of the comments mostly they were quoted tweets, right? I remember somebody saying, oh, this happened to me in Dubai. Another person said, oh, I experienced this in Abuja. I froze in utter shock. He didn't knock. I heard the sound of the key and it was turning the handle from inside, from outside rather. It happened in Dubai, it happened in Abuja. Another person said, oh, the same thing happened to me last year in Owerri. Another person said, this happened to me at Dove Hotel in Kigali. People are calling out names of different places in the world, right? That these things have happened. I mean, if you're saying Dubai, okay, obviously. So that means it's not just Nigeria. That, like, it's crazy. So seeing that, okay, people have had similar and even worse experiences has increased my PTSD. So yes, the title of this is always going through PTSD. I literally just got back from a wedding. I was in Lagos. I literally just got back from a wedding where I was lit. But the truth is that every other day, this thing still plays in my head. Because I keep asking, what did that guy want? Was he going to kill me? Was he going to rape me? Was he going to steal? What was he going to do? I remember my friends asking me, oh, what were you wearing? And genuinely, I was wearing shorts. Like, my bum shorts are they are shorts. I mean, I don't know. And I was wearing I think I was wearing like a bra top, which is literally like almost nothing on my body. Honestly. And I had my socks on. That's all. That is all. And you know, it just keeps replaying in my head. It's the same way. I think there was also this person that died in Ife. I think that's exactly how it happens. Because people were actually saying, oh, more, this thing sounds like this guy that died in this place. And it's crazy. Sometime last week, I was in school. My lights were off already. It was midnight. You know, I was just using my phone. And then it was actually my friend that knocked my door. But I know that I still have PTSD because I froze. And I'm not joking. At least I know I can describe this particular thing. I actually froze because she knocked. And then maybe she thought I was sleeping. But then she just maybe decided to say, all right. And then it was until I heard my name that I unfroze. And I was like, oh, yo, chill. I'm still awake. Because, I mean, she just thought maybe, oh, I'm still sleeping. So she was about to leave. But the fact that I still get really scared when I hear a knock now is, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, people may think that, oh, it's not that deep, but for me, it's actually very deep. It's something that I'm trying to just, I don't know if heal from is the word, but I think I need prayers. I don't know if I'm going to end with that because I'm actually done. But, it has been crazy for me, and I mean, in all of this, I'm grateful to God for averting whatever it is that was going to happen on that day, or whatever story. People were like, oh, it was definitely coming to steal. Another person was like, no, you know, probably had other plans than stealing, you know. But I think it's just still good that we didn't get to, or I didn't get to find out what exactly it was that he wanted. You know, I don't really overthink, but when things like this happen, I can't help it. And I was calculating how he probably was already watching me from when I was at the poolside with my colleagues, right? Because that means, I mean, that's the only way I feel it would make sense, because my friends were probably still at the pool when that happens. Because I mean, if you remember the story, I went in when it was like 11 after we ate. I told them, yeah, I'm going home. But they were still there. So I honestly just feel like this is somebody that was watching me, you know, saw me when I left my friend, saw me walk into the hotel, saw me take the elevator. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'd seen me enter that particular room too and was trying to confirm. Because that's the only... Because housekeeping at that time is not a thing. And I didn't, you know, like I said, I had to answer so many questions. You know, they were asking me, did you request for anything? Did you call it? I'm like, excuse me, I didn't ask for anything. And, you know, that's another reason why I never want to just be a victim. It's crazy. It's the same thing that happens during rape. They keep asking you questions like, oh, so how do you describe the situation? What was the time? What was it like? You know, things that literally just reopen all of these wounds. But of course, they're necessary questions just to get as much details as you can. But so yeah, pray for me if you listen to, if you've listened to this. I mean, thank you, because I don't know if this is even worth listening to. But honestly, thank you if you have listened. And I hope you can say a prayer for me. That just say, God, dear God, dear Allah, you know, as long as you're not worshiping Ogun or Ifa, and I'm serious, just tell God, please help us, help Ore, so that whenever anybody knocks, she doesn't freak out anymore, because that's where I'm still at. And, you know, I just really hope I get over it as soon as possible. Thank you, everybody. I'm really assuming that everybody, but, you know, thank you, whoever has listened to this. And I will see you in my next episode. Bye.